Frank Pollard grew up on a farm in Olney, Texas in the 1930s and 40s. Dr. Pollard said when he was growing up, fried chicken for supper meant a trip out to the chicken coop in the backyard. You ever wonder what life was like for a farm chicken? Only three things ever happen. If the farmer comes out in the backyard with a full pail, it's great because he's bringing feed to feed you. Farmer comes out with an empty pail, he's coming to take your eggs to feed himself. Farmer comes out without a pail, run for your life. That's it. That's all they do. You kill a chicken by wringing its neck. Do you know that? You take the chicken by the head and you just flip it around. Have you ever seen a chicken after it's had its neck wrung? Dr. Pollard says a chicken with his neck run does all kind of fascinating things they never did when they were alive. They will bob and weave and run and dart. They'll circle the whole farmyard. They just, all kinds of marvelous things they did in it when they weren't in a better state of health. A great deal of activity, but no life. Dr. Pollard called that the activity of death. Hold that thought. We're listening to these letters from the book of Revelation. It's my contention that Revelation is an intensely practical and hopeful book. The Apostle John is on the island of Patmos. He's there, a prisoner of the Romans. He's the bishop of the church in Ephesus. He's in charge of these seven churches that follow out from the coastline into Turkey. And he needs to get them a word that will be encouraging to them in a way that they can understand it, but the Romans can't understand it because there are dire consequences for John if the Romans get it. And this vision that God gives to him, this singular revelation, begins with seven letters, a letter to each of these seven churches. But he put all the letters in the book, because all seven of the churches read each of those letters, because each of these letters has something to say to every church in every time and in every place. And so now we're listening to them. And as we're preparing our hearts and minds for Easter, what we're trying to do is internalize a word of correction as well as a word of encouragement from the risen Lord Christ to his church today. Today we're going to hear the letter to the church in Sardis, and it's a tough word. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it? We're in Revelation chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. If you're new to this, go all the way to the back, work your way back through the maps and the concordance, and you will be there. And there the scripture says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. For if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come to you. Yet there are some people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. And the one who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white, and I will never blot out your name from the book of life. Instead, I will know you and your name before my Father and his angels. Let the one who has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of the Lord. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Do you know how that feels? You spend your days going through the motions, but purpose, life, seem far away. You look from the outside. You're certainly busy. Career's on track. You do all the right things at the church. You go to all the right places. You have every outward appearance of health. But inside, you're dead. And you're finding harder and harder to care about things. And you wonder, how did life get this way? And surely there's more to the joy of the Lord than what I'm living right now. That was Sardis. They're busy going through the motions, but there is no life inside of them. They're dead inside. Well, to be fair, mostly dead. Because the risen Christ offers them a path to new life. He says, remember, wake up. You know that moment as you're waking up from a bad dream and you remember how things really are? Just moments ago, there was something that seemed so completely real. It was terrifying and immersive, and it seemed to be the very depth of reality. And then when you're confronted with actual reality, it just fades away like a mist as the morning heats up. So that if someone asked you, even at midday, what was that thing you dreamed last night? You'd say, it seems scary, but I can't really remember the details of it. You know, the problem for a lot of us is we forget what we're supposed to remember, and we remember what we're supposed to forget. Sardis made a habit of forgetting what they were supposed to remember. According to the ancient Greek historian Herodotus, Sardis was captured by Cyrus, the king of Persia, in 549 BC. The city was thought to be impregnable because it sat on what was the end of a natural pier, and on three sides, the walls of the cliffs went sheer down 1,500 feet to the valley floor below. The only way to access the city was through this narrow, well-defended road. So Cyrus besieged the city, and he offered a reward to any of his soldiers who could figure out a way to scale these unscalable cliffs that seemed to go straight up into the sky. And there was a soldier named Herodotus. Herodias. And he was watching up to the city when there was a soldier on the ramparts, and he dropped his helmet and it fell down. And agile as a mountain goat, he went down after it. Herodias is watching up, and he memorized that path and made a note of it. And that night, he took a group of other soldiers, and they followed the path that the soldier had followed when he went down and back up. And to their great surprise, yea, even astonishment, they discovered the city was unguarded. They thought they were invincible, so they didn't even have a night watch while their city was besieged, and the city fell because they had sleeping sentinels. I mean, it's amazing that that happened once, but it happened twice. Antiochus the Great took the city in 214 BC the same way, besieged the city. People went up, no guards, and in both cases, the enemy came like a thief. And they did not know the hour of his coming. Has that happened to you? The same sin comes in the same way with the same result, feels like every time, and it's killing you. You know, we can learn from the past. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and yeah, we know that. So we can do something different. The people of Sardis forgot what they ought to remember so that they could make a course correction in their lives. Can I tell you, some of us remember what we ought to forget, and that's just as bad a problem. They make the same mistake from the opposite direction. Rather than forgetting what we ought to remember, we remember what we ought to forget. Instead of ignoring the things that have gotten us in the past, we let those things dominate our days. Do you have that voice in your head? The one who says, remember where you failed? That's who you are. Remember that sin that keeps getting you? It's going to win again. Do you remember what that person said about you? That defines you. That voice is not Jesus. Jesus has forgiven your past and redeems your present and has made secure your future. If we're going to get through life with any kind of success, what we have to do is remember what we ought not forget. And here it is. The risen Christ says, your name is written in the book of life. In cities like Sardis, they had city rolls that had the names of their citizenship. Not everybody was a citizen. But if you were an elite member of the community, perhaps you would become a citizen of the empire, and they would write your name down in the city's books until you died. And then they blot it out, because you don't matter anymore. But when you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, no one ever blots out your name. Because only Jesus in the history of the world ever offered us eternal life. Wake up. Remember. Remember what you have received. Because what you've received is the very Spirit of the living God. Jesus said, I will send you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Paul calls it the Spirit of life. The question of degree is, we possess the Spirit, but does the Spirit possess us? Are we captivated by the Spirit and the Spirit's leading? Are we servants of God? Slaves is the biblical word, doulos, douloi, of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life, which is exactly what you need if you're dead. You have the reputation for being alive, but you are dead, and the Spirit breathes life into our worship and into our work and into our families and into our witness and into our very lives. Ezekiel chapter 37 finds the prophet out in the wilderness surveying a field after a battle, and there are bodies strewn about the field, or at least there had been. Now there are bones, bleached white in the scorching heat of the desert sun. Could there be anything with less hope than that? But the Spirit said to him, "Preach to the bones." And the word of God spoken over them released the Spirit of God into the world. And as Ezekiel watched, bone came together with bone. And tendon and sinew began to form where none had been. And muscle grew strong and it was covered with flesh. But Ezekiel makes clear to us there was no life in these reformed bodies until the Spirit entered into them. The Spirit of God brought them life. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of life, of new creation, of new life, of fresh days. It matters not how dark has been your depression, how great your sin, how far you have fallen, how hopeless you feel, how dead you've been inside. The promise of the risen Christ is the Spirit of God will give you life that can never be taken away. So if spiritually you're a part of the walking dead, hear the word of the Lord. Wake up. Remember what you have received, the Spirit of God. And obey, listen, repent, change. pray for the Spirit to bring life into your life. Turn from where you are going and follow the Spirit's leading. And when you do that, you trade the activity of death for the abiding joy of life.